It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker is the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is, Let's Talk About Our King and His Kingdom. The text is from Psalm 145.
Just a couple of things before I get to the message. Our son Bob is a journalist for World Magazine, Christian News Weekly, and he has been sent for a month over to the Gulf region, to the various places there, and they just said, find some stories. And he happens to be at the moment in Amman, Jordan, and he sent this email. I thought it would be of interest to you. He said, spent the morning at a clinic for poor Iraqi refugees. There are upwards of 400,000 of them in Amman, displaced by the first Gulf War. The doctor is a woman about my age, and her husband pastors the Amman International Church. They're really a wonderful couple. Tomorrow, I hope they're going to take me to the Iraqi border. For the past month, all the meals served in the refugee camps along the border, that's for the present refugees, for the past month, all the meals served there at the border were by evangelical, Bible-believing churches in Jordan. Isn't that amazing? What a great witness in a Muslim country. The Lord's not without His people and not without His work. You know, in all that we're praying about right now, and for our troops and our nation and all the rest, let's don't forget to pray for the Iraqi believers. I'm told that there are a good many of them in the country of Iraq. Bob hopes to find some of them and interview them and try to encourage them, write about them. I also learned, and passed this along to Bob, that the Brigadier General, who is in charge of all the special ops, this was really a war won by special ops, so I'm told. The behind-the-scenes guys, the Delta Force, the SEALs, this small group, 1,000 or so people, I'm told, who do all the dirty work behind the scenes, the most horribly hazardous work imaginable. This Brigadier General is an outstanding believer with a wonderful testimony. And so the Lord has His people in special places doing His work in His own way. So I wanted to just fill you in on that in the hopes that it would give you a little perspective about things that aren't normally talked about related to what's going on over there. Would you please open your Bibles to Psalm 145? Psalm 145. You notice that right under, I guess it's this way in your edition of the Bible, right under the heading, Psalm 145, it says, David's Psalm of Praise. Spurgeon called this particular psalm David's crown jewel of praise. David wrote a lot of psalms of praise, but this is the only one titled David's Psalm of Praise. It's a very personal thing. He begins by saying, I will extol thee, my God. A very personal conversation between him and God. There are two kinds of praise, the kind that we offer to God, as David was doing here, and the kind that we offer about God to others. When we speak of His praiseworthiness in our conversations to other people, when we talk about how He saved us. We talk about His greatness, His perfections, His holiness, all of the other attributes that pertain to our wonderful God. God wants us to praise Him, not only in His presence to Him, but before others about him. There's something wrong with a Christian who doesn't do this instinctively and habitually. I want to say that again. There's something wrong with a Christian who doesn't praise God before men instinctively and habitually. Is there therefore something wrong with you? When you go home this summer and all the days of your life, as long as the Lord leaves you on this earth, I hope your purpose is to praise God, or put it in other terms, to speak of the Lord continually and habitually before others. When we praise the Lord before others, we're just speaking to others. It's coming out of our heart because we just can't help it. If the Lord's given us an answer to prayer, we just can't help telling people about the wonderful prayer answering God that we have. If He's provided a need, we tell people, look what the Lord has done. It's just instinctive. We don't stop and think about it. We don't work it up. It's full. It's in us. And what's full flows out. And if the praise of the Lord, if talking about the Lord before men is not coming out of you, that's a pretty good indication there's something missing that should be in you. If it's not coming out of you, why isn't it coming out of you? You can't bring out of you something that isn't in you. If the praise of the Lord is in you, then surely it's going to just come out of you. If that's not happening around here and in the student body, if it's not happening back home in your church, among your friends, if it's not happening in your Christian family, there's certainly no chance it's going to happen when you're out among strangers. It's not going to happen when you go into the workplace after you graduate. It's not going to happen when you have conversations with unsaved people. But it ought to happen. That's what this psalm is really all about. In 1848, when men found gold on the Sacramento River in California, you know what they did? They talked about it. And there was a big gold rush, the first major find of gold in America, 1848, California. California gold rush. People sold their possessions. They did everything they could. They got there to try to get gold. I'm told that in just a 12-month period that there were 2,500,000 ounces of gold that passed through the hands of the finders and the buyers in a 12-month period from 1848 to 1849. A lot of people told about it and a lot of people rushed there. 50 years later, 1898, in the Klondike, in a very inaccessible region of Alaska, and over in Western Canada, in that Klondike region. At one time, there were 30,000 gold miners. They poured into Skagway on the water there, that little tiny town that swelled to 30,000 people almost overnight. Why? Because somebody found gold, and the word got out, and everybody wanted to come to get their share of the riches. Most didn't get it. It's a fascinating story if you ever get a chance. Go read about the Klondike gold rush. Many people lost their lives. Many people lost their fortunes. It was a zoo. The little town of Skagway was described as muddy streets and its looting and its killing and all of the thievery and the taking advantage of people. They had to have porters that took their possessions from the base there at the water at Skagway, and they had to go up a mountain, and then they had to go over the mountain and down the pass and down the other side, and then when they got to the river over in the Klondike, they had to build rafts and they had to put all of their belongings, and they wouldn't let the men go there until they had enough provisions for a year. And it was just a gruesome experience. Skagway was described as the nearest thing to hell on earth in those days. There was indescribable inhumanity to man. The only people that really, basically, almost nobody got rich except the people who sold provisions and services to the people who came trying to get rich. But there was a guy named Soapy Smith there, one of the many con men. He kind of became the biggest and the greatest of all the crooks. And he set up a telegraph office, so-called. And he said, for $5, I'll send a telegraph for you anywhere in the world. And boy, people paid the $5. That's a lot of money then. But they didn't notice that the wire going out of his telegraph shack just kind of disappeared into the brush and didn't go anywhere else. And he was taking their $5 and pretending to send their messages. And a few hours later, he would pretend to receive a message, which he would write out. And of course, if they were willing to pay the collect charges for that, they could get the return message. All fabricated. What happened? Well, they couldn't wait. They had to tell somebody. I've arrived safely. I'm on my way to wealth. They thought they were sending messages to the world. The word got out because there was gold there. Interesting, isn't it, how people can be so much more bold and eager to talk about gold than about the God who made the gold, our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 145. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. What do you talk about? If it's not about God, why not? The Bible says here in this verse that what He does, His works, speak for Him, and we do too. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall praise thee. The Bible says in Psalm 92, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the earth, shows His handiwork. God's works praise His name. You know, if you can look around and see what God has made and not want to know the God who made it, there's something missing inside. But too many people just worship what He's made rather than worship the Creator. They worship the trees, the rocks, the sun, the moon, the stars, instead of worshiping the God, the Creator who made it. God's works praise His name. And His saints praise His name. They bless thee. They speak of thee. What do you find praiseworthy? If you're going to talk about something in superlatives, what do you praise? Somebody's batting average in the major leagues? Somebody's fielding or somebody's fielding skills? What do you praise? The ability of some NBA guy to stuff a ball in a hoop? Some Hollywood starlet? Some rock singer? What do you praise? It tells everything about you. It tells everybody about your value system. You praise what you consider to be worth something. Some of you are automobile fanatics. You praise the latest and the greatest new models of cars. Nothing wrong with liking cars, but in their place. There are lots of things that we like to talk about that are praiseworthy. But of all that we find praiseworthy, nothing can compare with our God. But He's the one we speak the least about. How long has it been, ladies and gentlemen, since your lips praised God, both to Him and to others? How long has it been? Do people have to pry it out of you? Does it feel unnatural? Is it something that is really awkward for you? And you really rather not do it? How come? How come? If He's really considered worthy by you, then give Him worship, which is worth-ship. Give the praise that is worthy of His name to others. Now, do you have any plans to do that this summer? I mean, in your conversations at the McDonald's or the factory or in your yard business or whatever it is you do, or in the summer school you go to somewhere, what are you going to do? You going to praise the Lord? You going to tell of Him? I've entitled this message, "Let's Talk About Our King and His Kingdom." The world doesn't know anything about it. And if you and I, who are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, who are part of His kingdom, who are heirs of the King, if we don't talk about Him, who will? What a difference it would make if we who love the Lord got as excited about God as the gold miners got about gold. They couldn't stop talking about it. But many of us in this room have never really gotten started talking about it. Let's look at this psalm. We'll get started at least in the message today. Verse 11 says that He is glorious. Look at how many times, when we read this, how many times the word speak or praise or bless or make known or declare, how many times these words appear, because that's really what this is all about. It's about making God known to others by speaking, declaring, praising, blessing Him before others. He's glorious. Look at verse 11. "They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power." Who is they? His works and His saints. Verse 10, we just looked at a minute ago. They, His works and His saints, shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power. "To make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and His glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." Hey, you're an American. I'm an American. I go abroad, I like to talk about America, but it's not an everlasting kingdom. The glory disappears. The sun is setting on America's civilization. You know that, and I know that. We have an everlasting kingdom, a glorious kingdom. It's not tainted by sin. It's not corrupted and defiled by the works of men's hands and their hearts. The Bible says, speak of it, tell of it, let it pour out of you. It's a glorious kingdom in power, verses 11 to 13. The power of our God is personal as well as powerful. Turn over to Psalm 147, verses 3 to 5. I want to show this to you. In His power, God is personal while being powerful. Verses 3 to 5. "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." That's personal. That's for people like us. But then He shifts thoughts. "God telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." He knows each star. That's how personal He is. And He has a name for each star. How many are there? Billions upon billions upon billions. There are not enough digits to express how many stars there are. The scientists think there may be 50 million galaxies. We've talked about our own Milky Way galaxy, the splash of white across the heavens, the galaxy that we are in, the Earth is in. It's 100,000 light years across, traveling at 185,000 miles a second. It will take 100,000 years to traverse our galaxy. At 185,000 miles per second, somebody's figured out we can go 6 trillion miles a year. Going 6 trillion miles per year, it will take 100,000 years to get across our galaxy. It's one of some 50 million galaxies they believe to exist out there. They're finding more all the time as their telescopes become more powerful. Our God did all that. And He has a name for each star. That's how powerful He is, and that's how personal He is. But when it comes to us, He healeth the broken heart. And He binds up our wounds. We have a personal and powerful God. He knows what wounds are in your heart today. He knows what makes you weep. There's a lot of sadness represented in the stories of those of us gathered in this room today. Let me just share with you some brief words I received recently from a graduate. I share it for your edification. I share it as an illustration of the gloriousness of this personal and powerful God that we have. I share it with you because a few years from now, some of you will be in similar experiences, and my heart breaks for you that it will be so. This lady, Donna, says, "I'm writing to ask you to pray for my family. Since I graduated in 86, things have been very trying at times. I married a BJ grad, had two wonderful sons, and then he divorced me in 1997 after 10 years of marriage. I remained single until November 2001. I met a wonderful man, a few years younger than me. I fell in love. He fell in love with me and my boys. My family and I all knew that he was God sent. So we thought. After 8 months of a wonderful marriage, I came home from church one Sunday and he'd moved out. His only reason? He couldn't live with the fussing, fighting, and arguing of the boys. Of course, we all three are heartbroken. He has been in contact once in a while over the past 6 months. Yesterday, he called me at work and said he wanted to try to work things out. I want that more than anything. However, we both know how difficult this situation can be. The boys are hurt so badly. Their real dad doesn't have anything to do with them. So Keith, the stepdad, is the only dad they know. I don't know how to ask you to pray. I know God will work everything out the way it needs to be. The last 8 years, I've learned to be patient and wait on the Lord. I will admit that I struggle with anger and bitterness. This isn't the life I expected. I can remember when a history of sieve test was a major event. Wow. Life can throw you a few curveballs. I'm thankful for good, strong parents and a good background that prepared me for something I never knew was coming. I'm thankful that not only do I know the Lord, but I've learned how to trust Him. Thank you for everything you've ever done for me. I can hardly keep from weeping when I read that letter. But I also weep because similar tragedies may very well be waiting for many of you in this room. What's going to hold you up? What's going to keep you going? Your glorious God, who never fails you, who is not like dirty, rotten, lousy husbands like she has. A powerful and personal God. The Bible tells us He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He binds up the brokenness. He heals the wounds that sin in this world brings our way in life. What a wonderful, powerful God we have. The natural consequences of sin find all of us. No one is immune from the devastation that sin has wrought in this world. Saved and unsaved alike, we are part of a sinful and sinning humanity. But we have something the unsaved don't have. We have a God who pities, who is tender-hearted, and who is all-powerful. He is glorious in His power and His personal concern. Why don't we talk about that? Why do we put a lid on it? What could be more important than to talk about such a God to people who don't know Him, who need to cast their burdens upon Him? Well, we just got started with this wonderful psalm. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are some hearts that are downcast here today, full of news that has troubled and vexed the life and soul. May they look beyond the circumstance to You. Lord, how little we think of You. We daily go through life as though You don't exist, and yet we say that You are our God. But we don't let You be our God. And how Your heart must break that we treat You like this. Dear Lord God, thank You for who You are. We praise You for being so great a God, so powerful, so glorious in Your power, and so glorious in Your personal care for us. Lord, we just can't help but thank You. And if there are those in this room that find it very difficult and almost impossible to ever talk to others about You, cause them to find out why. It's so unnatural, so wrong. There's so many who need to know You. And our silence is keeping them from You.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.